You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Robert in Olmsted Falls. Robert, how you doing today?
Hey, man. Hey, guys, I got to commend you guys. I really enjoy the show, and it's been a great time watching Wilhelm's career and having him here locally.
Thank you, man.
And it's not, man, it's not easy to have to field calls from angry fans that pretend that or want to take it out on you guys when the Browns aren't doing well. As far as Manziel goes, I think you sometimes, man, you got to take your medicine. And if the, I'm scared, you know, that they're going to go for Mariota and go all in on him. I think Manziel deserves a chance, just like, you know, anybody else.
I want to see what we have in him, and I certainly don't want to go all in on somebody who's not a sure thing. And I don't think Mariota's a sure thing. That's just me.
Well, and what happens if he doesn't work out? And, you know, I don't think Manziel was that bad of a draft. It wasn't the first pick we had, even though I think most people want to think it was our first pick. The problem is I feel like we really whiffed on Gilbert in that first pick. If you look at the number of players that have had great careers in their rookie years that went, you know, after him, I think that's where our real problem is. But as far as Manziel goes, you know, I don't think he was – I don't know if he was addicted to alcohol or whatever. I think he was just probably addicted to going out like every other young person at his age with a lot of money or an opportunity like that. And obviously, as a quarterback in the NFL, you can't do that. I think you got to give Manziel a chance because we got to take our medicine. We picked him. The options right now for us are not great. Let's see what he can do and what's the worst thing that could happen. You know, he doesn't do well, and we have to look till next year. So I hope that they keep with him. I think he has a lot of heart and character. And now that hopefully he's out of that young man's, you know, thing that was going on where he was going out every night and, you know, doing what young people do, hopefully that's over with. And, you know, the other thing is imagine he's now out of rehab. Imagine how hard it's going to be for him to just even go out to a club or a bar. I mean, it would be impossible. Every social media, everybody's going to put their phones up in the air and take snapshots of him and say, oh, look what Johnny's doing now. He's right back to where he comes. So I think if anything, that's a huge deterrent because anywhere this guy goes, he's going to be criticized and looked at on every Twitter and you know, social media out there. So I think that's a good deterrent, and I think he'll at least keep his act clean while he's not a quarterback in the NFL.
Appreciate the call. I agree. I think it will be a little bit of a deterrent. I don't think he's going to be able to go out in Cleveland and party at the vault and things like that.
Barley.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, and the one other thought that I had, just because for whatever reason, the individuals that know when he got in trouble and his boys got in that fight down in the lobby of the nine, does he move out of that penthouse? Because that influence, what, 13 stories below you is there every single day when you come back from the facility, you see the people, you know, in and out of there. Does he get into more of a neighborhood? You know, where it's kind of the downtown is 25, 30 minutes, and it's a little bit out of reach and not touchable every single night of your life.
Yeah, let him move to Berea. Not to sound like J.R. Smith or anything, but I'm not sure there's much going on at Berea at 12 o'clock at night.
There is not much going on at Berea. Ellis in Orlando talking Johnny. What's up, Ellis?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I kind of agree with the second caller, or the first caller as well. I believe everybody deserves, you know, a second chance. And I actually have more respect for him now that it's hard to admit that you've got dependencies or whatever it is that you're dealing with. So I really take my hat off to him. But look, guys, I'm 54 years old, been a Browns fan for 47 years, live and die with the team. Now you got to show us where the money is and put the proof in the pudding. You know, sometimes, though, you need a little slice, you know, of humble pie to bring you back down to earth. So to me, he's got to have his work cut out for him. But you know what? When you're in this situation and the crew that you hang around with, if they really care about him, they will understand that and will respect that this guy, you know, has some things he has to take care of. And, you know, they always say you look at your circle of friends and you see yourself. Guys, you know what? Browns fan till the casket drops. And let's see what happens, man. Go Browns.
You know, I think it's interesting, and people are bringing up a point, but I think what's more important to look at is there's two sides. There's the football side, and then there's the personal side. For the personal side, it's a demon he's going to fight every day for the rest of his life. Hopefully he cures that. When you look at it from a football standpoint, he could cure himself and still not be the answer at quarterback.
You're right about that. But
that we don't know.
You're right. But the one thing is, when it comes specifically to Johnny Manziel, the one thing, that the first side that you mentioned, in this case, affects the other side. And that's why, and everything that I've heard, he didn't specifically go for alcohol. He didn't specifically go for drugs. It was that social, you know, going out and being Johnny Football and living up to the expectations that he brought upon himself that he felt like he had to fulfill. He was addicted to the nightlife, addicted to the notoriety, addicted to the, you know, the tweets, the Instagrams, all that kind of stuff that he had to deal with.
Maybe. I just came up with a genius idea.
Here we go.
Why don't we have him on the dating show? Get him to have a girlfriend.
He's got a girlfriend.
Well, then she needs to just come into town, and they just need to stay home and watch movies.
I think she likes the social life as well.
Well, then you know what? Out with her and in with the new. I mean, let's get a homebody. You know, any homebodies, you know, the attractive homebodies, let's line them up and let them pick one.
There you go, the kid. Okay.
I mean,
let's go to John and Warren talking about what Joe Thomas had to say about Johnny Manziel. What's up, John?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. And then I'd like to say something about John, too. I respect what Joe Thomas said. He was very diplomatic. And what he was addressing with the media happened to be John Manziel. His statement applies to any quarterback. Any quarterback has to earn the respect of the teammate. So I think what he said was just the 100% truth. John Manziel or whoever's in that seat got to earn the respect of the team and be the leader on offense.
You know, you're absolutely right with the fact that Joe Thomas and everything that he means to this organization has the right to say that. And that what he said was very obvious because all of us feel the same way about Johnny Manziel. So it's like he stated the obvious as we said already, the cornerstone to this organization. My problem with is not Joe Thomas. It is not with Joe Thomas' comments. It is the fact that he put it out there. Everyone already feels that way about Johnny. Why did he have to do it? It just shines, again, a negative light. You know, the ticker on ESPN is Cleveland Browns, Johnny Man, Joe Thomas says, blah, 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 blah. You know, it would like, you know, Joe Thomas says, I feel like the Cleveland Browns are going to win a Super Bowl. Shine a positive light. We didn't need to redirect negativity upon the organization, and that's why I had a problem with it.
That's what I thought. What was it accomplishing at that time when Johnny Manziel was trying to get?
Nothing.
You know, he was doing the work on himself in the facility. I didn't see what it was going to do for him. I agree with that. Let's go to Joe in Columbus now. Joe, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Joe?
Good. How about yourself?
Good, man.
You know, the first caller said that Johnny deserves a chance.
Yes.
He doesn't deserve any more or any less chance than anyone else on the team. And the fact that we can depend on him less than we can depend on anyone else on the team, you know, I don't know that he should be singled out for special treatment or be any more deserving of a shot than anyone else is.
Well, you know, the one thing you have to understand is, as I said already, a first-round draft pick will always take priority over other football players that are non-first-round draft pick. That's one. Also, too, Johnny Manziel is a quarterback, so he'll always take priority over other players in the locker room because you've got to be extremely special and gifted to play the quarterback position. And we see now, with the last 15 years of Cleveland Browns football, how difficult it is to find what that can actually win you football games. So that's why he'll get preferential treatment for a small period of time until we move on, or he's going to stay the third-string quarterback on our roster.
Yeah, and so Jimmy Johnson, who I view as the second greatest football coach of my lifetime, said that, you know, of course you treat people differently. He's not going to treat Emmitt Smith the same way that he treats Michael Irvin, or Michael Irvin the same way that he treats Leon Lett, because different people need to be treated differently. Michael Irvin liked when someone got in his face and, you know, got talking, whereas Leon Lett, you had to put your arm around him. You know, I mean, it's just, that's what makes coaches and administrators for these teams good, is that they understand different people need to be treated differently.
You're absolutely right about it. And again, what we have to understand, we're in a second-year owner, Jimmy Haslam, going on to his third. We have a first-year GM in Ray Farmer. We have a first-year head coach, you know, in Mike Patton. So everything was very new, and then you get a personality like Johnny Manziel, and I don't think any organization, you know, maybe the New York media in Philly might be ready for a personality like Johnny Manziel inside their walls because they deal with that each and every day in the cities that they play from. But everybody was learning about everybody last year. And that's what's so encouraging about where we're going. New uniforms, new, seven wins as opposed to four or five. Significant, outpour of talent via free agency. And, oh, by the way, we have 10 picks in the, in the draft, two in the first round.
And that leads me to a point that I was thinking about when the guy was talking about, and Nate was talking about, not trading up for Mariota. I think that I don't have a problem at some point. I think it's next year, pushing all in for a quarterback. If we have another Ray Farmer-like draft, and he hits it out of the ballpark and hits the first-rounders this year, next year we're going to have very few holes on the roster.
And we're going to have 11 picks.
At that point, I would have no problem. You can't trade compensatory picks. But next year, if you said to me, there's one quarterback in our team is like, let's say we win 9 games next year, but we're still lagging at the quarterback position. At that point, I have no problem pushing all the chips in and calling the team with the number one pick in the draft and saying, take all 7 of my picks.
And, oh, by the way, I just want to put this out there, and maybe Gibbs, we can find it. Adam Kaplan has come out and said, don't be surprised with Mariota rising that he goes number one overall to Tampa and that Jameis Winston is dropping right now 2 weeks prior to the draft.
That's something I had written down in my notes earlier.
If he drops, let's do it.
Well, here's what's going to make me make him drop. The civil lawsuit that just came out into itself might not make him drop. But in the lawsuit, it states that there's a second accuser. And I think that might scare off some teams to the fact of, well, wait a minute. And that might scare them off. And then if Tampa goes Mariota, then he may start dropping like a rock. And you know what? I hate to contradict myself because I've said that I don't want the Browns to take any quote-unquote off-the-field risks. But that's the one guy, I mean, if you have a chance to get him, if he starts dropping at 7 or 8 and he's still out there, I'm going to be licking my chops because he's a pro-ready quarterback. And if we could get Jameis Winston, I'll dance on top of this table.
The kid doing some dancing.
Shirt on or shirt off?
What do you guys
shirt
think
on.
About that? What do you think about what Johnny Manziel had to say? What do you think about Jameis Winston if he does drop? 216-578-0850. Let us know. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.